And they wouldn't bow. They trusted God. And the Bible said there was one like unto the Son of Man showed up. And the Bible says that they were delivered, hallelujah, in that fiery furnace. And the fiery furnace, because of God, it burned off all that held them bound. Praise God. So that's why I say it a lot here, because we can come into church and we can have our mind on our problems. We can have our mind on our kid. We can have our mind and not be mindful of the Lord and not be expecting the Lord. And just like they were talking about the gifts this morning, the gifts of God, men, I don't have anything to help you within myself, hallelujah. And men don't have anything to help us within themselves. But when our trust and our confidence and our strength we're drawing from the Lord, then He operates through those men that have those gifts or those women, and then imparts to us what we need to be successful, hallelujah. So I always like to say it, you know, expectation brings a manifestation. So if you're not believing God, set your focus in on Him, and we're going to ask Him before I start preaching. We're going to ask Him to help me preach, and we're going to ask Him to help us hear and help us receive, hallelujah. We're going to ask Him to open the eyes of our understanding, hallelujah, that we will know what the hope of His calling is. We will begin to be revealed to us the depths of His riches, hallelujah, praise God. So if you're not believing God, go ahead and shift gears and get into place of expectation. And if I was going to title the sermon this morning, it would be Sojourn in This Land. And I'm going to bring up some scriptures to you. And sojourn really don't mean a lot to us, but it's in the Bible. You know, and I'll bring some scriptures up maybe, and maybe tell a little bit about why I have that title sermon. I've had it for a lot of years, but I've never really preached too many sermons on it, praise God. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just ask You this morning, God, we thank You for what we have already heard and learned and the testimonies, God, and we thank You, Father, for all of the things that You've done for us up to this point, God. But God, we thank You today for Your Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank You for this service, God, that You hand-tailored, Lord. Your Word says that You bring us. We sit at a table in the presence of our enemies and our cup runs over, Lord, that You anoint our heads, and we thank You for that. And we thank You, Father God, for this anointed time, God. And Lord, we thank You, Father, we ask You to help us to minister this morning, God, and we receive it right now. Yield myself to You, Lord. Lord, we thank You, Father, that we have ears that are past our natural ears, God. And we thank You that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, Father God. Impartation and revelation, Father. Help us to hear, help us to receive, and help us to respond, God, to You, Father God. And we'll be sure to give You the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. So sojourn in this land. What that means, you know, before I get even into some of the scriptures, how many knows wherever we are in this life, God knows where we're at. He knows what's coming against us. He knows what's trying to stop us from serving God. He knows what's trying to hinder us, you know, from moving forward and walking in our destiny. And a lot of people don't even know they have a destiny in God. They just live life day by day and thinking this is just the way it is. I know before I got saved, you know, they preached to me, and my brother and them would tell me, you know, that the Lord was, you know, that Jesus loved me. And I would tell them, I would say, y'all are a bunch of sissies. I said, man, y'all love one another. Y'all can't go to the bars anymore. You can't go bowling. You can't, you know, you can't do all this, man. Y'all are weak. I told them, I said, don't mention this Jesus stuff. Y'all can't have a lick of fun. But see, what I didn't realize is back down there that God, like Monty brought it up, you know, he told Jeremiah, he said, I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew you before you were born, and I destined you to be this. And God spoke to me back then. I didn't know all those scriptures. I didn't know that Jeremiah 29:11, that God said, I know my plans, my thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good and not evil, to give you an expected end. See, I didn't know all those scriptures were in that Bible. And the Bible, I didn't know that the Bible Bible says in Hebrews, he said, if the gospel, if the word of God is hid, if the good news is hid from me, it's because the God of this world has blinded my hearts and mind. He said, unless the light of the glorious gospel shines in, the word of God, and brings revelation. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I told them, you know, don't tell me about this Jesus. Y'all just go on to church and drive your nice cars and y'all just give each other holy kisses and all that stuff, you know. And I seen that as weak. I didn't see that, you know, as having a fulfilled life. But once I got born again, see, when you get born again, you're not the same person. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Bible says old things pass away, and behold, all things become new, and then all things are of God. Well, then after I got born again a little while, you know, I thought, well, you know, I knew that I was called to preach. I just had it come up in me, and it was brought out very well this morning in Sunday school with Teresa and I forgot your name, Monty. I'm not preaching on Monty this morning. But you know, I begin to go after God. Me and Teresa begin to go to church. We begin to learn that we need to pray in the mornings and talk to God. And we didn't know all that. We didn't know all that was involved in serving Jesus. We didn't know you had a personal relationship with Jesus. I didn't know that you could talk to God in the morning, that He was always there with you. He'd never leave you or never forsake you. I didn't know that. I'm down praying one day and asked the Lord. I told the Lord, I'll see you when I get home. And I was going to work. And I did that day after day. And I didn't have a concept that God was with me. And so I just heard the Holy Spirit that morning. And in here, you hear God inside. I've never heard God with my ears other than somebody preaching to me. But God said, take me with you. I just heard that, and I thought, take him with me. I thought, okay, you to go's with me, God. He's been with me ever since. Boy, I'm telling you, God was in the truck with me. It changed my whole day. It changed my whole work, because I'm like, God's with me. If God is in the truck with me, then can nobody kill me? If God's with me, but what I'm saying is, and then I go on and I say, I knew that I was called to preach. I felt it on the inside. Me and Teresa were just, all we're doing is going after God. I'm not just telling you my story. I'm telling you this is the ways of God in your life. As you begin to go after God, and you come on to church broken, you go on up there broken, you turn down the marijuana, whatever. Because you're going to serve God. The Bible says that is somebody that's diligently seeking the Lord. And he said he's a rewarder of them. That Bible preaches it. He said he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek the Lord. And so anyways, we're going up through there. And I told Teresa, I feel on the inside I'm going to be a preacher. I said, I'm going to be a preacher if I don't get this out. And I'm in my mid-20s, and she's, you know, 4 or 5 years younger than me. Anyhow, she says, everybody thinks that. And I said, you're probably right. I thought, yeah, she's right about that. We go on to church. Somebody go to church. Regular. Every service. Hallelujah. Boy, we were going to church. We didn't know nothing else. We broke. We going to church. We got Travis screaming back there in the back, said we're going to church. We got him acting up a little in church when we first start, but we going to church. See, we couldn't help it. Keith, this is something that we felt like, this is God's will, this is God's way. Well, we get to church, you know, and I forgot all about what she had said and the thoughts and everything, and we went on into praise and worship, and then the preacher gets up, and we're sitting there, and all of a sudden he's preaching. I'd never met him or anything, and he said, he stopped, and he said, God said to tell you that you feel is him. I wanted to faint. Now, on the way to church, I told Teresa, I'm going to be a preacher if I don't get this out of me. And then she said what she said, and I said, yeah, so I just throwed it off. Well, the preacher stops right there. What I'm saying is God has a way, whether it's that way or whatever way, to bring confirmation to you of His divine will as you pursue Him. He has a way, and it'll be, you know that you know that you know. But this is not my sermon, really. Well, after that, I left and I thought, oh man, I told Tracy, I said, I'm a preacher. I said, that's crazy, I'm a preacher. All I got out of that whole service is God said to tell you that what you're feeling is me. And so I left and I'm like, man, I'm a preacher. I don't even know what a preacher is. I have no idea. Well, how many knows the Bible says, it don't say you have to know. It says, it is Him that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I didn't know what I'm doing, didn't know how to do it, none of that. I didn't have to because it's Him. You don't have to, it's Him. It's Him that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Well, my next, do I want that scripture now or later? Still a little later. Okay, now, I think, oh my God. Now, me and Teresa had a real, we had a good reputation in Blount County when I got saved. And Doris is like, I don't know about all that. I mean, we had a terrible reputation. We was known as drugs and fighting and all kind of stuff. Blount County was just, we were like Bunny and Hyde, son. They woke us up behind the Piggly or whatever store that was. We wasn't going to nobody because we didn't want nobody telling us what to do. You know that old story, ain't nobody gonna tell me nothing. I don't listen to it, but that gets rebellion in you. But anyways, so I get us a mattress and we're going to sleep in town. So we pull around behind the big grocery store and we get out on the back of our truck. Winn-Dixie, wasn't it? And we go to sleep. Well, the cops about 2 o'clock wakes us up. Hey, what y'all doing? I'm like, man, we're asleep. We're trying to get some sleep here. Well, you can't sleep behind the grocery store. You know, y'all, man, y'all going to have to leave. Well, we're here. We're home. I'm like, run me off from that. I lived in Blount County, so I figured it's mine too, right? Come on, y'all. My little one thinks this way back down there. We slept where we needed to, okay? Well, anyhow, back to the story now. I had to bring that in. Because we had such a good reputation in Blount County, we did not have a good reputation. When the Lord told me to go to the jail, I went down there and He said, you? I told Him, went down there, the Lord said, He said, well, I got, give me that scripture before I get on ahead of myself here. Genesis 26, maybe? Is it? Yeah. No, that's not it. That's it. Well, anyway, go back to that Genesis 20. It don't matter. I'll preach it anyways. Okay, there was a famine. Okay, this is about Isaac. This is Isaac. This is Abraham's son. Y'all all know the story about Abraham. God told him they couldn't have kids and all that stuff. You know, God didn't tell him that, but they couldn't have kids and all that. And He told him, He said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Like that, and your descendants are going to come through your seed. They couldn't have kids. 90 and 100, dude, you know, that's a miracle. Well, you're on down here, and Abraham obeyed God, and Isaac had been following. That's why the fathers lead the sons. Because Abraham had led his family to God. To walking with God and believing God. He was the result of the obedience, of the leading. Sarah laughed when God said, y'all going to have a, Abraham told her, we're going to have a kid, man. She laughed. And so man done, they would call him having Alzheimer's today or something. But it happened. Okay, there had been a famine that went to Egypt. Now this morning I thought about Egypt. I thought about what Egypt means to me. Egypt was a place of bondage. The children of Israel, when Moses went down to Egypt and told them, God is going to bring you out. God's going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. God is going to take you where you live in houses. You're not in bondage anymore. You're going to live in your own houses. You're going to eat out of your own vineyards. You know, you're going to drink out of wells you didn't dig. And then here we go on down, and here's Isaac. And there was a famine before in Abraham's time, and Abraham went back down to Egypt. Abraham led them back down to Egypt. And so God, in this right here, God told me, He said, in Egypt, they didn't have to trust me because they were supply there. But God told Isaac, and God used this story 28 years ago, 29 years, maybe a little longer than that. He used this story in my life, 29, and I thank God I'm standing before you today because of it. Because I'm going to tell you why here in just a minute. And you shouldn't struggle with that stuff. But anyways, he goes on, he told him, he said, Isaac went to Gerar, and the Lord appeared to him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell of thee. Sojourn. And I said, God, what's that word sojourn? So I went and looked up. It says, stay right here. Don't move. Don't go to Egypt. Stay right here. He said, stay in this land, and I will be with you. I will bless you, for unto thee and unto thus I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto the father Abraham. But he told Isaac, he said, don't go down to Egypt like your daddy did. He said, don't go down to Egypt. See, Egypt was a place of bondage. See, it's easier just to not go after God. I'm just telling you, that's why everybody don't go after God. Because the life they live, they can manage it and make it happen. They survive. You know? But God wants His people to stand out and thrive. He wants you as a Christian to be joyful. He wants you when I had open heart surgery, everybody told me, sign up for disability, man. I mean, this is going to be terrible. Blah, blah. And I pulled up the statistics and read some of the after people had it and all that. And I mean, if I'd have went with all of that, I would have been in a wheelchair today. But I didn't turn back to Egypt. I didn't turn back to you know, the knowledge the doctors have and the results and most people get and all that. I'm not knocking doctors. I believe God anoints doctors. I believe they had them there for me. I believe they are a natural helps ministry. And I believe they have wisdom comes from God, whether they ever give it to Him or not, give Him the credit for it or not. And so it's a natural helps ministry. But I came out and I said, oh no. I come out and I said, I'm not going back down to Egypt. I'm not going back down to powerlessness. I'm not going back down to weakness. I've been saying for years, let the weak say they're strong. I've been saying it, God, and I'm not going back down to Egypt. And so he told him, he said, don't go back, don't go to Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. And then give me the other scripture, Travis. I think it's 13, 14, 12, whatever it is. Then Isaac sowed in the land. And God spoke to me this morning. He said, I want you to tell my people. And I'm not just talking to y'all here. People call it, they'll say, how's your little church? And I'm like, I ain't never had a little church. Well, how many you got? I don't know. They're all over the world. How am I supposed to know? I don't do a head count every morning. You know, they'll say, how's your little church? And I'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about. It must be somebody else's you're talking about. Well, I mean, y'all ain't got but about 8 or 9. And I'm like, well, we don't go by that number to determine to go down to Egypt or going up into the promises. We don't look at that stuff. Don't the Bible teach you why we look not at the things that are seen? Don't the Bible teach me and you that we walk by faith and not by sight? Don't the Bible say that be still and know that He's our God? Hallelujah. I had to read that to tell you a little bit more of the story. And so I'm thinking, okay, man, there ain't nobody going to listen to me. I've been selling everybody in Blount County pot. I was thinking that's the way that I'm going to get rich, man. I mean, who's going to listen to me preach? Ain't none of my family going to listen. You know, I got too many enemies here. I've made too many enemies. This is what I was thinking after I got saved. You know, and I knew that I was called to preach. And so I'm thinking, well, I got to move to Florida or somewhere. We're going to have to get out of here, man. We got to get out of here. I mean, where nobody knows us. I mean, if everybody ain't nobody going to come listen to me preach with this kind of background, you know, and all of that stuff. And God used this. He said, you sojourn where you're at. He said, you stay where you're at because I'm going to show you what kind of God I am in the end. He said, I'm going to show you that you don't have to have a different state to preach. You know, and then I went on, you know, and Teresa, she's still cussing God, and she ain't say, if people cuss God, don't think God's just going to fall off the throne, man. I mean, He's not shocked by it. He knows sinners sin. So if somebody steals your car, they're a sinner, don't be too excited about it and say, well, they're sinners, that's what they do. I told somebody the other day, I said, without God, men are liable to do anything. I said, that's why your prisons are full. That's why your hospitals are full. That's why all kinds of things are happening. I said, with God. I said, there's amazing things that men do. Why? Because the Bible says that you that do know your God will do exploits. We're doing extraordinary things. If you know God, well, then that's what's going to happen to you. That's why you got a longing to press on in and to know Him. But anyhow, I told God, I said, okay, God, I'm going to stand here in Blount County and I'm going to see if you can do it or not, but God. And He did it. When He sent me to the, I'm going down the road one day at work and all that, and the Lord spoke to me, He said, I want you to go to the Blount County jail and I want you to preach there. And I thought, I don't know nobody. How many knows you don't have to know anybody? You know the one that told you what to do. And so I'm like, oh well, I don't know nobody. So I go down there, told Preston, we was at work, we was riding together. I said, take me down to the police station. I've been there a bunch of times. The probation officer, you know, that was for Blount County, his name was Danny Hicks. I told Preston one time, I told him, I said, you're going this weekend are you going to see Daddy this weekend? Because he stayed down there so much, I thought he's your daddy. He going to jail every weekend. He's on probation. I mean, you think he's on probation in school. That's how well we were known. My daddy back decades before, he bought him a hearse. And he was running moonshine in a hearse. Outrunning the cops in a hearse. Running moonshine in Blount County. I mean, all of my brothers, they knew. I bet they were almost like God knew every hair on their head. They were numbered. They seen them so often. So anyhow, the odds, what I'm telling you, even if the odds are against you from what God wants you to do, the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? So, little did I know that God was telling me impossible things, Dave. The will of God's not always possible for you to accomplish on your own. 99.9% of the time, you doing the will of God is going to call, you're going to have to trust your God. You know? And so I go in down, he said, to the jailhouse? I said, take me down there. I said, God said, go. I said, if God said, go, then I'm going. I said, I'm going. Okay, man, I'll take you down there. We pulled in there, and I go in there, and I said, hey, I said, where's Chief? Well, let me get him. And he comes out there. I'm looking up at him, and of course, it don't take much. I'm only 5'6". So I'm looking way up there at him, and I said, hey, man. I said, I'm going to come to the jail and preach. And he said, what? What? I said, the Lord's told me to come to the jail and preach. I said, I want to come and preach to these guys in jail. And so he gave me a thick bunch of papers. All I've seen is impossible, impossible, impossible. And when I started out, I felt discouraged. I'm just telling you how I felt. I felt discouraged. I'm like, they're not going to let me in here, man. I mean, I've been locked up and all that stuff in here. And my family's well known. We were well known. You know, and that's not a good thing. But anyways, I go on, you know, and I get to the door and I start out the door. And I heard the Lord in here. He said, how bad do you want it? He said, are you willing to go through and get it? And so I get out there, and my brother, he's like, well, I don't know if you're going to get in or not, all that, man. Doing a background check on me. Can you believe it? Why would you want to do that? I'm a good boy. They tore my truck apart. The cops, I called them pigs. They tear my truck apart, and they wouldn't put it back together. They hunting the marijuana. And I told them one day, I said, man, y'all, I said, I'm going to call the law on y'all when I get the phone if y'all don't put my truck back together. We are the law, boy. I'm like, well, can't call the law on them. I wouldn't call them anyhow. Who calls the law? Surely not us. You know, but anyways, I go and I told him, I said, I can tell you right now, I said, God's going to get me in this place. See, whatever your situation, see, open heart surgery couldn't stop me from doing the will of God. I've had things come and get signed. I used to have to get up here and use sinus spray where I could preach without my nose being stopped up. I did that for years. I would spray 15 minutes before I got here so that I could preach because I couldn't preach when my nose stopped up. And I'd tell God, God, if you'll heal me, you know, it would be better if you heal me, God, and then it would be easier to preach. He said, I've already healed you. He said, you got to receive it. He said, "He said, what has that got to do with you preaching the gospel? See, your body, and that's why I say it here a lot, you know, don't determine what you believe based on what you're going through. Don't determine what you believe based on your experience or somebody else's experience. You believe what you believe about God, your body, your Bible, your ministry, your family, based on what the Scripture says. If the Bible says you're more than a conqueror, you feel defeated, just get up and say, I'm more than a conqueror. If weapons forms against you and makes you feel like you ain't going to go forward, you can't have a good life, you get up and you read the Scripture and you say, no weapon formed against me will prosper. What you're doing, you're declaring what you believe contrary to what you're experiencing. The Bible says in Romans that Abraham believed God, not considering his own body, right? The Bible says that he considered God as faithful to do what he promised. Well, that's an example for us to believe God. I went to the jails and went there 3 years. I'm walking down through there, praise God, and one day the jailers lead me out. They locked you in there at that time, you know. And he's leading me out. All of a sudden, he's crying. He's real tall. He's going, huh? And I always thought you'd a crybaby, you know, man crying like that. Man, I ain't been saved about 8 months. I thought, well, maybe men do cry somewhere or another. Because I always told Mom, I said, you whip me with a belt. I'm not going to cry. I wouldn't cry. You beat me half to death, I wouldn't cry. That's stubborn, ain't it? Just cry and she'll quit whipping you. But see, God wanted that stubbornness not carried over into the kingdom. God wanted me to love these men. God wanted me to be considerate of people. God wanted me to want what He wanted. And you know, and I looked at him and I said, what's up, man? I said, what's going on, man? the anointing on your life, see. I hadn't said nothing to him. I didn't feel at liberty to preach to them jailers. Yeah, you did. And look where you at, baby. Praise God. Look where you at today. Hallelujah. In the house of God, going after the destiny of God, the will of God, pursuing God. Hallelujah. And God's bringing this message to all of us. I'm going to do exploits in your life if you won't turn from me. If you will follow me, if you will listen to me and hear my word, I will take you into where you never thought you would be able to be. Well, you know, and he said, I'm backslid on the Lord. I'm backslid. He just began to confess. And I thought about the scripture. It says confession is made unto salvation. Confession. He started confessing, you know, telling me, you know, how his life had got bad and how he was miserable and his back slid on the Lord and his family wasn't serving the Lord and it got bad, you know. And I looked up at him and I said, well, you know what, man? I said, you can change that right now. I said, all you got to do is turn back to him and tell him you're sorry. Whatever stopped you from going, whatever, just forget those things behind. I said, you can. What I'm saying is, you know, I thought, man, glory to God, I'm preaching to the big dogs now. Did I ever feel worthy? No. Jesus made me worthy. Jesus has made you worthy. Healing in your body, things attack you, praise God. You just get 1 Peter 2:24 and you do it personally and you say, I stand on your word, God. The Bible says that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. I am the healed of God. And God, this weapon that's formed against me will not kill me. It will not prosper. It'll not bring no fruit. Lord, I might have to walk through this valley right now. I might have to walk through open arch, sir, or whatever. I might have to walk through this. But God, I'm going to come out winning in the end. Hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus, they tied him to a whipping post. They tied him to a whipping post. And I mean, the Bible says, by them stripes, Jesus took on all of that me and you can walk healed. He didn't take on all that for nothing. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, you know, that's when you leave here, you're going to be totally healed. And I said, sure, we're going to take on a new body. Sure, there's no more sickness and disease. I said, but we ain't going to need that Bible when we get up there. I said, that Bible's for us down here while we're on earth so we can have a little bit of heaven on earth according to Psalms. See, they told me, preachers told me, and it was just out of their experience, and they'd go to church and they'd take up an offering for them and they might get $5 or $10 or $15, you know, and when I was all excited about being a preacher, you know, and I'd get around these preachers, you know, and I'd say, ooh, God's called me to preach to. He called me to preach. I'm just excited, really, just really excited, you know. I'm not trying to toot my horn or nothing. I mean, I'm just excited. And they would say, well, you signed up for poverty, sir. And I'd say, what do you mean, signed up for poverty? Well, I mean, you know, preachers, all they can afford is chicken. And mostly chicken necks. And I thought, man, I had them when they were 17 of us at home. I got tired of that chicken necks, man. You know, I mean, we raised our own chickens and killed them. And I'm like, chickens, I'm tired of the chicken neck, man. You know, chicken dumplings, we didn't throw the necks away. Cook it till the bone's good. We chop it up and eat it too. You know. And so I'm like, oh, man. I was like, man, I was selling drugs. I was on my way to make big money, man. Now I'm over here in a Christian now. And devil working on you when that happens. He's giving you ungodly thoughts to get you to abort the mission, to abort your Christianity, to get you to look in the natural and say you can't go nowhere with God. You see, I was a thief, so I thought I'd never have nothing good. Well, I got good stuff, and I didn't steal it. The Bible tells me to work with my own hands that I have to give. I had to renew my mind to that. No, work with my own hands so I can have a good car. That's not what the Bible says. So I had to renew my mind to that, and I thought, I'm going to do this thing God's way. I'm going to do it God's way. See, the children of Israel came out of Egypt. We get born again, that represents me and you giving our heart to Jesus. And according to how long we've lived in the world without Jesus, that's how much we're going to have to root that old man out and walk in the new man. In other words, there was this guy came one time and he said, God told me to bring my family. I'm going to prison. They caught him with marijuana and dug it up and they give him a bunch of years. I don't know how many years. But he said, the Lord told me to bring my family here. And I said, what? I mean, I'm thinking, dump your family out here and you go to prison. What are we going to do with them? You know, and I looked at him and I said, well, if God told you to bring your family here and you're going to prison, then God will take care of them. So anyways, I go to Tuscaloosa, you know, and visit him every now and then. I talk to him, and it wasn't cell phones back in, you know. We got it made now. I don't bring mine to church. Somebody calls me right at church time. They don't call me no other time. So if you start getting those calls about church time and your neighbor's coming over about church time, get a clue. Right? They ain't come visit you the rest of the week. They're trying to get you. They don't mean to. They don't realize it. They just had that thought all of the, let's go visit Brother Scotty. I told one time, bring your clothes with you. We're going to church. They didn't show up, for God's sake. Well, we'll come visit with you later. Yeah, it's a good idea. Somebody told me one time, we ain't seen them in months and months. And I said, yeah, they just have to come at church time, don't they? Well, I said, let them take off of work and come see you. Well, they ain't going to do that. They don't want to see you real bad. I said, we're smarter than the devil. I said, it ain't them. I said, our consecration. I said, Satan wants us to give our dedication away. Well, you know, he said, don't go down to Egypt. See, look, I thought one time, well, I married the devil's daughter. That's Teresa. I thought we were lost, man. I mean, she used to be a tough cookie. You know, and I love it. She's made a man out of me, her and Jesus. I can tell you right now, if I had to go back and tell somebody yesterday, I mean, a lot of my family would say, how do you put up with her? I'm like, what do you mean, man? She'll kill somebody for me. She's got my back. I mean, I don't have to think. She ain't going to shoot me in the back. She'll get me in the front now, but she won't get me in the back. She's up front kind of person. I said, I'd rather have that than somebody that would stab you in the back. You know, I love you, baby. Hey, some preachers can't handle this kind of preaching. They're like, good Lord, you say things. You know, I just can't say. I said, well, I ain't going to, you know, I'm me. I can't preach but what I got, what I give out. But I found out that it helps you. I found out that it did. That I live where you live. I live in the same world. I have the same temptations. I have the same trials. I have the same fears come against me sometimes. You know, and I told the Lord, maybe I married the devil's daughter, Teresa. You know, I was lost and everything, and I thought, maybe I ought to get rid of her, you know. Gosh. Well, I mean, I'm going to church, you know, and she don't care for me telling this. This will help you. I'm going to church and preaching and stuff, and of course you lay hands on people. She wouldn't go with me, and I'd get in. She'd say, how many did you lay hands on? And I'm like, uh-oh. This is not good right here. Lay hands on, but it wasn't to get them healed. How many did you lay hands on today? And I'm like, oh my God, man, I'm trying to have to fight the devil at home. Can't go to church and lay hands on nobody and all that. But what that was my opportunity to trust God. Whatever you face, your husband may be a beater. Your wife may be a beater. I know some husband beaters. You know, wife beat husbands. Teresa tried it to me, and she just wasn't fast enough. Girl, get you, boy. You know, and everything. You know. So, anyways, Whatever you're facing, that the Christ in you, that is your calling to endure hardship. I'm not saying let people beat you up, and I'm not saying all that, but trust God. I mean, I've heard of stories where the husband locked the women out of the house and made them sleep on the porch because they went to church, but they kept loving their husband anyhow. They was determined not to give up. They wasn't going back to Egypt and won their husbands over, and they became worldwide missionaries and evangelists. True story. Their love for God. See, now, husbands are to love their wives as Christ so loved the church. That means, you know, you want her to have the best. You want her to have her toenail polish. I mean, Beth is a yarn dog. She's a yarn puppy. I mean, the girl likes to crow. I mean, you ought to see her rocker. I mean, she's got this helmet on. Travis won't even attempt to get one. I mean, it's a wonder people ain't having wrecks. It looks like a cartoon character. This helmet she's riding with her motorcycle down the road. She goes down the road, and I'm like, hey, that's Beth. Ain't no mistaking. Ain't nobody. They catch her when she stops somewhere, and they just want to admire her helmet. Travis, I don't think it's pride now, but I think it was the start. I ain't wearing nothing like that. I think it was pride. This is Travis. Travis is not going to be caught dead in one of them. Well, I thought we died. I thought I thought we were dead to Christ. You know, we were crucified, buried, and resurrected. You know, and I'm not going to wear one either, Beth. I'll be honest. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I mean, people are, I mean, you know, she really enjoys that. And I'm like, ah, man, that's pretty good right there. A lot of women, they want big Jaguars and stuff. $300 worth of yarn is not too bad, Travis. Well, I used to think, and the Lord told me, He said, I put you together before you were even saved. He said, I lined that up. He said, and y'all will do exploits together. We've been married 40 years. I told somebody at the funeral home or wherever, I said, if I knew what I know now and go back 40 years, 41 years, and know what I know now, I said, I would marry that woman again. And they was looking at me like I wouldn't. They just don't know that when I have felt weak in my marriage, I've turned to the Lord, and then am I strong. I'm supposed to lead my wife to Jesus. I'm supposed to lead my wife in the ministry. I'm supposed to lead my wife in loving one another. I'm supposed to lead my wife and my kids and my grandkids. I wanted to teach Travis how to fight because I knew how to fight. My brothers, my dad didn't teach me how. My brothers taught me how to fight. They, you know, and so when Travis gets up, you know, and they start bullying him a little bit in school, and I mean, it was everything in me, Christ in me, that kept me from teaching him how to box them. You know, I wanted him to have long hair, and Teresa wanted to name him something else. It was Jesse James. We got to name our kid Jesse. Jesse James, yeah, and I thought, yeah, and he's going to make him like Dad. See, my brother taught me how to give an uppercut that would lay him out, then you ain't got to worry about him picking up a pool stick. And then my dad taught me, you know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. You know, and so anyways. And then my mom beat people up in the Social Security line for breaking line, but she didn't tell them to go to the back of the line. She helped them to the back of the line. Then I get over here in the kingdom, and God said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He said, you're not a fighter anymore. He said, you're a lover. He said, you're not a hater anymore. He said, you're a lover. Walk in love. You know, and I've read the Bible, and it said, love your enemies. And I shut that Bible, and I told Teresa, I said, I don't like that. Love your enemies? Are you serious? love somebody I hate? I couldn't see doing that. But you know what? Every time I would go to pray, Keith, I would think about that scripture. Love your enemy. And I would say, I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Leave me alone. You know, leave me alone with that. And it kept on and on. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, that's not the devil. He said, my word is not trying to destroy you. He said, my word, when you embrace it, sets you free. I heard him just clear as a bell. I mean, it was just like, I know what he's saying. Sometimes you just know what he's saying. It ain't just spoke out in words to you. You just know what he's saying. When he's saying, don't get mad at your wife, you're like, don't get mad at her. Just don't get mad at her. That's not you. Your nature is to get mad at her. Well, you know, I thought, oh, man. So I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord. I said, I'm going to yield to this. I'm going to embrace this, God. God, I'm going to love my enemies. I'm going to love them, God. I'm going to love them. Now, I set out, and every time I would get around somebody that, I mean, I got beat up by three, and they broke my nose and ribs and stuff, and I hunted them. I waited on them for years, you know, and I had planned out what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to hurt them real bad. You know, and all that. And I had a lot of enemies that I'd made, I'd created. But you know what? I started walking with God, and then all of a sudden God said, I want you to invite one of them to revival. And I thought, oh my God, not to my church. I'll tell them to go to church, but not up here. I couldn't see. This is a true story. You know, and I really didn't tell Teresa too much about it. And I'm like, I'll invite them to church, man. So when I got a chance, I asked them, you go to church? And the Lord's like, tell them about the revival. And I'm like, I'm not telling them about the revival. I want them to go to church over yonder. See, and that's where some people come up with that concept, I can love you from afar. Well, we need to love them close up. We need to get rid of that. We need to love them close up. But it took a process. What I'm saying is, see, Satan wanted to keep Egypt in me. See, I'd been down there in Egypt, and your flesh don't get born again. When you get saved, your spirit gets born again. Your flesh has been trained a certain way according to how long you've been training it out there in the world. But see, that's what he did with the children of Israel. He brought them across the Red Sea. He started them out in the wilderness toward the Canaan land, and he began to get the slave mentality out of them. He wanted it out of them. He wanted all their old ways gone. So that all their new ways were trusting Him and righteousness and serving Him and loving people that was going to get them over into the promised land. They didn't get to go. They wandered around 40 years. God did it. It was some say 11-year journey. But because they wouldn't trust God, they wouldn't quit complaining and griping about their situations and all of that, they didn't get to enter into the promises. Well, how many knows that for us today, we might not be going to that land they were talking about, but that land today, I am a free man. I've got to pray for a bunch of those that were my enemies back under and got them touched and some of them healed and different things, praise God, and set out and say, "Woo, glory! Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." We got free from fighting. We don't got a coffee table. We couldn't have coffee tables, me and Teresa. And I sure didn't put brand new tires on our vehicles because one of us is going to slice them sooner or later. But you know what? Today, praise God, that we are free from all of that. We're free to serve the Lord and walk with the Lord and love each other and enjoy each other. But I still get on her nerves a little bit. Every day, she says. I told her grandmother yesterday, she's here, and she said, I just love you. I love you. I love you, and I will replant your beans because they got covered too deep. But we was talking yesterday, and she was saying something about them too, her mom and them being alike, just alike, you know, and she's going down through there, and I said, yeah, and I said, they're just like you. I said, you look at them, you're seeing you. I said, that's terrible, ain't it? I get in the truck and I said, I'm glad you're like your mama. I said, that's not a bad thing. To be like your mama, to be like your father, that's not a bad thing. You know, and so I was telling Granny, I said, no, that's a good thing, you know. And I said, I understand, though. I said, I've been married to one of them for 40 years. Hey, y'all, you having a bad marriage? If I can do it, y'all can do it, right? Because he's no respecter of persons. He helped me in the grace of God. He helped her in the grace of God. He kept us both walking in the grace of God. And we raised up a pretty stable son till he left the house. Then he left the house and he's like, I'm not being told what to do no more, no more, no more. I told him before he got saved, I said, you're going to be told what to do. I said, they're going to tell you when to pay your light bill. They're going to tell you when to pay your water bill. And they're going to tell you when you're going to be told what to do. You might as well be willing. How many knows the Bible says in Isaiah, be willing. If you're willing and obedient, you'll keep your water on. Right? If you're willing and obedient, God wants you to pay your bills. A good name is better rather to be chosen than fine gold and silver, right? God's not okay with me running late on my payments all the time. And I'm a Christian. Woo, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Devil's coming after my car. No, he ain't. You didn't make your car payment. We're still praising the Lord. But see, this will bring you to a place of abundance. Pray God, where you ain't making no payments no more, you own it all. You own it all because he took them to the... Caleb and Joshua got to enter into that promised land. So look, don't think you got to get a different job. You got to get a different job. I'm sick of that job. Bunch of sinners down there. God told me to preach to them sinners at my job. They rolled out the cocaine on the bucket, and I told them, y'all go ahead, y'all go. We used to do a little cocaine every now and then. They never would bring it, though. I mean, then you get saved and everybody bringing it. You know the devil's in that. They bringing it then. Oh, well, Scotty's been good to us. Let's carry him some drugs. I'm like, that never happens, man. You know, and I told them, I said, nah, man. I said, but we're going to tote sheetrock. If you ever toted sheetrock, that's terrible. You know, and we're on our way to tote sheetrock. And when we did cocaine, we all wanted to tote it. It hops you up, you know. And so I says, ah, no, y'all can have mine too. I'm not going to tell nobody. Y'all just get mine too. We get to the job and they're like, you just stay in the truck. We're going to tote it all. And I'm like, woo, thank you for cocaine. And then he wanted me to get out of the truck. What the devil meant for my bad, and I didn't snort it. He worked it to my good, and I ain't even having to work. The devil's making them work hard for me. I'm like, y'all sure? No, don't even get out. I'm like, okay. Usually they're like, we're not going to do it without you out here. You're not going to sit on that truck. And boy, I'm telling you, God turned things around for you. But you know what? The Lord said, I'm going to bless you right here where you work. See, some people think they got to find them a different church because it's getting a little bit dry in church. Why don't you bring the water, baby? Why don't you bring it? Why don't you get so full? I mean, you just can't help yourself. I mean, you get in church and you feel like you're about to explode to talk, to sing or something. Bring it. They told me one time, they said, boy, we got revival. I'm telling you, something wrong with your church. It's getting a little dry up there, ain't it? It's getting a little dry. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm getting wet every time I go. I don't know what y'all sitting in the wrong chairs. But I was going to church focused on Jesus. I was going to church focused. I mean, I was a tightwad, man. I mean, I drive 40 minutes. Hey, better not nobody get in my way or nothing, man. Just, I'm going to church, you know. It's costing me a lot. That's what I was thinking. It's costing me 40 minutes to go to church, man. I'm sitting, and we moved to the front. I said, I'm moving up front so nobody's distracting me. If you're distracting me, I'm moving to the front. My mother told me, I'll close with this. I'm keeping this a little long. We didn't do praise and worship, so I figured I got an extra 20 minutes. Well, I've always thought. Mom come in one time, she said, hey, she said, I don't know if I can come to church anymore. I said, why? She said, them lights are hurting my eyes. I said, really? I said, well, I'll fix that. So I go out the next day and I get her a pair of sunglasses and I take them to the house. And I said, I fixed your problem. I said, you can come on to church now. And she said, and then she says, well, it's hard for me to set up. If you go to church, it hurts my something, hurts her back or something. I said, oh, really? I said, well, we'll see about that. So I can bring a recliner over. I'm telling you, you need a stretcher? If you need a stretcher, we'll bring a stretcher. If you get the jeebies where you feel like you just got to run, we'll strap you down. You know, we'll hold you. We'll help you. So I told Mom, I said, okay. I said, I got you something at church. So I brought her. See, the problem was she's sitting up playing bingo all night on Saturday night with her sister. So it's hard for her to stay awake in church. So in order for us not to see her, she needs some sunshades, right? She's one of the smart Christians. So I get her, I said, we'll fix that. I thought, Mom, she's going to church. Long as she wants to go to church, black God, I'll make it happen for her. You know, and so I get her a chair, and then Travis has to sit beside her because every now and then she's like, Mamaw, wake up. So I told her one night, I said, listen. I said, I went out there, her and her Aunt Ruth, and they all gone now. Now I went out there and I said, listen, man, I said, y'all two are disrupting my service. And Aunt Ruth, I don't come to your church. I said, you're keeping my mama awake all night. No, she's cheating. Every time I get with her to play dominoes, she's cheating. And so I have to keep scoring. It takes longer. See what kind of fun you have being a Christian? Hey, the guy over here, he said, what are y'all? And I said, what are you? He said, well, I'm a Baptist. I said, buddy, we Baptists at the bone over there. He said, are y'all Baptist? I said, we are. We're Baptist. I said, you know, I said, we got saved. I said, but most of us are Baptist. I said, you'll fit right in. He said, well, he said, I might have to stand up and I said, look, stand. We don't care if you stand. He ain't come to church yet. Oh, he's short. First it was, I'm coming, I promise you I'm coming, I promise. I'm like, dude, it don't matter. Don't promise me nothing. Tell Jesus. Don't make no commitments to me. I'm not trying to get you here. If God don't want you here, I didn't tell him, but I'm like, I don't want you here. How many of those people can be Jonahs? See, if you're here, wherever you're at all over the world, and you in your church, and you've been happy till Susie come in, and she gets on your nerves with her kids and whatever, you know, and now you're going to find you a different church if it ain't just false doctrine now. False doctrine, I'll tell you, get out and run quick as you can. But if it's just these little issues, you know, that's what the Lord was saying. Some people think they can't serve Jesus. Got to find another church. No, you find where God wants you, and I don't care if they bring a donkey in there. Donkeys talked in the Bible. You stay there. I don't care if everything going on, you everybody getting on your nerves. Did you know some of y'all get on my nerves? Which one of us? Don't matter. Right? I get on y'all's nerves. Every time Monty sees me, go, oh, God, what's he going to say this time? Right? Sandy, she has dreams and visions all the time. Has for 30 years. I knew the woman 30 years. She come one time, said something. I said, no, we're not doing that. What? I said, nope. She comes in. I mean, this girl is a decorator. And she knows I love her. I love her with a... But, you know, she would have the... Oh, we'd wonder what color Jesus really is. Time she got done. But there's one thing about her. She loves Jesus. She loves the will of God. I thought before I'm going to bring her a pacifier. You know, who do you give pacifiers? The kids that's going, here. But she's the backbone to this church. Hallelujah. Very appreciative of her. Praise God. So listen, don't let anything get in your way. You know, you're not perfect. Guy told me one time, he said, I'm going to close with this. He said one time, he said, well, he said, the church is on me. He said, I still smoke pot. He said, I can't seem to get over pot. He said, I've given my heart to the Lord, and I love the Lord. I love Him. But I just, he said, I've smoked pot so long, I just can't quit the pot. He said, so I'm just going to quit the church. I said, don't you do it. I said, don't you quit that church. I said, God put you in that church. I said, let the people say what they say, because they don't understand that addiction you got, that your flesh is addicted to. I said, don't quit church. I said, don't you quit. I said, in the same time, don't get mad at them. Don't get up. How many knows we've got to walk in love? I said, don't get mad at them. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. I said, just keep going to church and keep serving the Lord, you know, and don't be concerned about it. And before long, he come to me and he said, glory to God, I got free from pot. He said, they started a church and pastored a church. See, so don't think your imperfections is going to stop your God from changing you from the inside out and bringing you into the place to where you really want to be. Hallelujah. So, you know, right where you're at, sojourn where you're at. Just serve Jesus and go after Him. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise You and thank You today, Father God. And Lord, I thank You.